take your Bible this evening, and I want you to find 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Tonight's sermon is called Right Attitudes About Separation. Right Attitudes About Separation. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to find verse number 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20. And if you would, let's all stand for the reading of the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. We'll pray, and then I'll teach you something about right attitudes regarding separation. The Bible says this: "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Hey, look, notice there, it talked about being meat for the master's use. And what that's talking about is our being usable by the master. Who's our master? It's God. It's Jesus Christ. And you and I should be striving to be fit for the master's use. And we ought to do this with a pure heart. Now, let me pray. I'll make some more comments about this verse, and then we'll talk about tonight's subject. Holy Spirit of God, control what's heard tonight. Control what's said tonight. And then, Father, control our attitudes in days to come. Lord, I ask tonight that we would be better Christians and a better church because of what we learn from the Bible, not just what we hear, but then what we do with what we hear. I ask that the young people tonight will sit still and listen very carefully. I pray that the teens and the adults would help us to absorb the truth of the Bible. May it become a part of us. Now, God, we want you to use us. We want to be meat for the master's use. We want to be fit. We want to be what you need us to be so that you can use us. Now bless us with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. In that passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's references in my thinking over and over again to the subject of separation. Notice it talked about gold and silver. Now those are two total different metals. And they were separated in Scripture. Then it talked about wood and earth. It's the same thing. They're two total different things. The Bible uses these words. It spoke of, about a man purging himself. You say, what is that? That's separation. Purging means pulling out something that maybe is less useful. But that word purge and purging ourselves, that's separation. It said that there are vessels of honor and dishonor. What is that? There's a separation. There are those things that honor God and those things that dishonor God. So again, I think a reference to the subject of separation. In that passage of Scripture, it used the word sanctified. Now don't forget, what is something that is sanctified according to the Bible? That is something that has been set apart. Our piano is sanctified, if you will. Notice it's not down at a casino playing rock and roll music. It's sanctified. It's set apart. The only kind of music that's going to be played on that piano is old-fashioned gospel music. And so it's sanctified. It's set apart for use. And so God is saying that you and I, we ought to be sanctified. We ought to be set apart from use. Now, if you are set apart to be used, that means that you left something or you're separated from something to something. That's what separation is. Then in that very same passage of Scripture that we read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, flee youthful lusts. What's that mean? Separate from the things that cause lust. So over and over again in that passage of Scripture, we see the concept or the teaching of separation. It uses there in verse number 22, it says, but follow righteousness. Well, that means we are to go away from or stay away from unrighteousness. We are to separate unto righteousness. So you don't read but three or four words, every three or four statements in that passage of Scripture, God's saying, this should be separated from this, and this should be different than that, and this should be different than this, and there's got to be a difference in this and that. Separation is taught throughout that passage of Scripture. Now, what's the whole purpose? That we are fit for the Master's use. Separation is not all about you. It's not all about me. It's all about God. What you and I want to do is we want to take anything out of our lives that would hinder or minimize God's use of us. And we want to add anything into our life that would help God to use us more. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about the idea of our attitudes about the subject of separation. Just so you understand, people definitely develop attitudes about this because this gets into their personal life. God wants their personal life. God wants something to change about them, not just in public, not just at church, in private, at home, in the community. And so we develop attitudes about this subject of separation. I will promise you, one of the struggles that any old-time religion church has had through the years, it's about people's attitudes about separation. I don't find a lot of bad attitude about salvation by grace through faith. I don't find a lot of bad attitude about the purity of the Bible. You do get a little attitude about that, but I don't find a lot of bad attitude about the working of the Holy Spirit. But you start talking about separation and attitude pops up. Attitude. And those of you who've been around old time religion, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Attitude. What is it? It's someone's feelings, their disposition or their position. It's an outward expression of an inward stance. It can be expressed in word. Attitude can be expressed in innuendo. Attitude can be expressed in body language. It can be expressed with facial expression and, of course, general behavior. Attitude can be expressed in the way we dress and act. I think it probably has something to do with your mood, your perspective, your sentiment, your slant on things, your twist, your angle, your frame of mind, either spiritually or emotionally. Now, let me tell you, our church has a great attitude, and we really don't want that attitude to change. I think our church has an excellent spirit. May I say, Let me very politely say to you, whatever you do, don't tamper with the great attitude of our church. You shouldn't tamper with it, but you could. You could tamper with the church's attitude or spirit by what you do. I guess we could tamper with the church's attitude or spirit by what we don't do. Now listen, people may hear your words, but they feel your attitude. I can remember more than one time my dad saying, son, you don't have to say a word. Wipe that attitude off your face. You know, and you can tell there's an expression that when there's an attitude. Hey, if you don't control your attitude, it will control you. Let me say it again. If you don't control your attitude, it will control you. Now, as Christians, we're to let the Holy Spirit of God and the Scripture control our attitude. I'm not a humanist in any way, shape, or form. I'm not just out to try to better the human race. I'm out to cause the human race to be like Jesus Christ. But I will say, if you don't control your attitude, it will control you. An attitude is a little thing, but it makes a big difference. Let's not damage our church's attitude. Let's not develop a bad attitude. Well, and the reason I say that is because we've had a lot of teaching and a lot of preaching on separation. And I'll be real honest, those of you, again, that have been at it for a while, here we are. We're almost to the end of a series that's over 40 sermons long on separation, and we've really not had an attitude problem. We've kept our spirit. We've kept our attitude. Now, we're not done yet. We have some more that's going to be taught. But I want you to be careful that you don't let the teaching on separation destroy your attitude. And we've got to protect the church's attitude, the church's spirit. Now, I'm going to talk about right attitudes regarding separation. Let me say number one. I want to talk to you about the right attitude for those who are already separated. And let me say this. Nobody has separated from everything that they should. We will be separating, if we're growing in the Lord, all the way to heaven. We're going to constantly find something that needs to change about us, where we ought to get away from it and get toward something that's good. So nobody is perfectly separated. Jesus was the only person in a human body that ever walked the face of this earth that was perfectly separated. He was perfectly sanctified. He was perfectly holy. But to those of you that you say, "Preacher, I do understand separation. I'm practicing separation. I've been around it. I've got some sort of a grip on it." Let me talk to you about a right attitude if you currently feel like you're doing a pretty good job of practicing separation. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 27. The Bible says this, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself be a castaway." Then in 1 Corinthians 10:12 it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Now let me recommend something. If you're saved and you've separated from things in life, and you know that there's a level of life that ought to be lived as a Christian that's different, it's cleaner. We're to get away from unrighteousness and live a righteous life. And you say, "I know that. I've been doing that. I've been doing it for years or months or whatever." Be careful. You need to take heed that you never fall from that. The Bible said, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So, the first thing I'll say to those of you that are separated, don't be proud. Don't be proud. There's some people in here, I do think you're separated. I do think you're living a separated life. But I need to make you understand something. You may feel like you're really separated and that you're real clean and that you really got your life on the ball. Now, you will feel that most by comparing yourself to other people. But the very moment you stand before Jesus Christ, you'll realize how unseparated you were. Because I am not the standard for you and you are not the standard for me, but Jesus Christ is the standard for us all. And you just need to be real, real careful that you do not become too proud about your separation. You say, "Well, why would you say that?" Because as new people come in the church and as people are growing, you might get a little arrogant about, "Look at you," and then, "Look at them." Wrong attitude.
Yes, sir.
Wrong attitude. All of us used to be where they were. And I might tell you this also. There's someone who is extremely separated that looks at you and thinks, "They're not much." Because they've experienced some separation in their life that you can't even fathom. So, may I say, first of all, don't become proud, separated people. I've watched churches that practice old-time religion separation, but they're arrogant. They're proud. And they're too good for new Christians. They're too good for those that have not learned separation. I never want us to develop that attitude. Wrong attitude. Then, may I say to those of you that are already separated, stay separated. Stay separated. Don't become backslidden. Then, could I say to you also, you need to learn how to be patient with people who are not separated. Be patient. Some can't. Some, they want it now. It just really doesn't work that way. It takes a while. Have you noticed how long it takes once a brand new baby is born and it's a brand new infant? Have you seen how long it takes for that baby to learn how to do just the things that will help it to survive in life? How many of you would have let your child just take off and go do whatever it wanted after 6 years? You say, no way. How about 8 years? You say, no way. Sometimes it takes a little while to grow things from infancy. Some of you are very impatient. It takes a while. Part of what I do as a pastor is I help grow things. I have to be careful because sometimes people come along and they say, it's not growing fast enough. I say, I just wish we'd all grow faster, but you just can't make it grow any faster than it's going to choose to grow. And so may I say to everybody here that understands something about separation, I need you to be patient. May I say everybody here that understands separation and you're practicing it, be polite. Be polite. You know, one of the things that people can get rude about is when someone is separated and someone else isn't, they can be pretty nasty and rude. And that goes back to point number one. Don't become arrogant and proud and nasty and rude towards someone that doesn't have all the understanding of separation that you do. Could I also ask that those of you that have been around a while that you do not rush people? You do not rush people. People need time to grow. Did you know that the lost need to save to stay separated? We're to be different. We're to act different. We're to behave different. And they need us to be different. So, don't be proud. Stay separated. Be patient. Be polite. Don't rush people as they're learning. I would recommend this to all of us. Those of you that are, you know, you say, I've been around a while. I've been in the churches that preach righteous living and separation. And I want to tell you something. You ought to be willing to separate further when it's needful in your life. Like I said, nobody here is a finished product. I'm going to expect all of us, there's something that we ought to learn, and there are areas of purification that are necessary further. Then, I want you to be polite. I want you to be kind. Hey, I want to recommend this. Let the church leadership guide the younger Christians about most of the separation issues. Every once in a while, somebody gets so excited about separation, they want to go help everybody else get it done. You probably need to just attend to yourself and then let the church leadership help with some of it. You say, why? Well, we do deal with arrogance and impatience and people in a hurry and curtness. And so I usually recommend those that understand separation, that they're careful and they don't start pushing the young Christians too quickly. I'll say this. I don't think this applies to anybody in here. At least I hope it doesn't. I want you to know this. If you've been around a while and you understand separation and you practice separation, please know this. It's not your place to drive out the unseparated. We don't need you to drive them away. We're trying to pull them to Jesus. So be very, very careful. Now, you have a pastor that believes in separation from the world. I've not cowered. I'm not afraid to preach it. I'm not afraid to teach it. But I do not want us to become a bunch of Pharisees. And I do not want you pushing people away. There are actually, I've come across people that they thought that they were the church vigilante man and they were to find everybody that's not separated and put them in their place and tell them to either get it or get out. And don't you do that. Don't you do that. Then, could I recommend to those of you that understand separation that you know why you have separated? Why don't you don't just do what you do because somebody else did it? Why don't you know what the Bible says and take a look? Now, we've been teaching it for 40 weeks. You ought to be knowing why you're separating from the things from which you're separating. But know it from your Bible. Have some Bible verses. Realize this, every mature Christian in here, realize when people first get saved, here's what people need. Number one, they need to get saved. Then what? After people get saved, they should get baptized. Then they should join the church. Then, you know what we need to do? We need to teach them to love and believe the Bible. Because that's where all the separation instruction comes from. We've got to teach them to pray. And there's some things that are foundational that they need to learn. To those of you that are soul winners, and you're separated, you don't win someone to Jesus today and then teach them everything you know about separation next week. You'll hurt them. That's like expecting a two-week-old baby to drive the car. You say, well, that's dangerous. You're right. It's dangerous. They're not prepared for it. Now, are we going to teach them separation? You betcha. That's a Catholic term, isn't it? Yeah, we're going to teach them. We're going to teach them about separation. But you know, there's something that goes along with them being faithful to church, and they've got to learn how to get their eyes off themselves a little bit and then begin to desire to serve. And that's all a part of their growing in separation. So, let me tell you, those of you that are separated, you adults that are separated, you parents that are separated, can I tell you something that will help you? Make sure that you're not living, don't have double standards. Teach your children in your home to separate. I watch some parents that are separated, but they're not even teaching their own children separation. So those that have been around a while and you understand something about separation, you've heard separation preached, you've heard separation taught, keep a right attitude. Don't you become proud. Stay separated. Be patient with those that have not learned. Be polite. Don't rush people. You separate further from the world, so you keep growing. Let the church leadership guide the younger Christians. Don't you decide that you're here to drive out the unseparated. You learn what the Bible teaches and have proofs from the Scripture as to why you have separated in the areas that you have. Make sure you realize people need to get saved, get baptized, join the church, learn to read their Bible, pray, be faithful to church, get their eyes off themselves. Then they begin to develop an understanding of the subject of separation. Now, let me go further. I'm going to go to point number two. Let me talk to you about the right attitude of those who need to separate. Or maybe they're not separated. So you say, preacher, I've been listening to all this teaching on separation, and boy, it just seemed like every week there's something else that I need to separate from, and I'm kind of examining it, and I've been listening to it, and maybe for some of you, you say, I've been tolerating it, it's just new to me, and I'm not used to that, and okay. Now, let me help you. If you would say, I'm probably not as separated as what I should be, or maybe you just flat out say, nope, I'm not separated, and I know it. Okay, let me tell you, let me give you some attitude help. First of all, I want to read to you from James chapter 4, verse number 7. The Bible says this, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I want to recommend to everybody who is not separated, in any area that you submit yourself to God, in that area. You say, well, I'm not sure I agree or disagree with that area. I'm not asking you to agree or disagree at the moment. I'm asking you that you would submit yourself to God in that area and say, God, I'll do anything you want. That's a good attitude.
Yes, sir.
God, I'll do anything you want. Okay, let me give you another verse. And I memorized these verses when I was a very young Christian. I'm glad that I did. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you're a younger Christian, or maybe you got saved a long, long time ago, but this is the first time you've ever been in a church where you've been taught separation, I want to recommend that you trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just in the parts of the Lord that you're familiar with, but the parts of the Lord you're not familiar with. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not into thine understanding. Did you know something? Sometimes we say, well, I don't understand it. I therefore don't have to do it. That is not what you say to your children. I mean, if I told my child to go sit down and they said, I don't understand why I should, I'll say, I'll explain it to you. We're to do what God said by faith. There are a lot of things in life I don't totally understand. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, so if you say, I'm not separated, or I'm not as separated really as what I should be, and this is kind of all new to me, let me give you some things that I want you to be cautious of, some attitudes, some approaches, and some things to think about. First of all, if I was not separated, I would be careful being critical of Bible teaching about separation. Now that's where it'll get your attitude. You see, sometimes when you're taught something and you don't like it and you're guilty of it, you can either submit to it or you attack it. You develop an attitude about it. So could I recommend, if you're not separated, that you don't become critical of Bible teaching about separation? Then, very simple thing. Here's what I'd ask you to do. Believe the Bible. You say, well, that's simple. I don't know. I don't know if that's as simple as... To me, it doesn't seem that difficult. But there are some people I can say, the Bible says this. And I read it to them, and they walk away going, if you're not separated, here's all I ask. Believe the Bible. Just believe the Bible. So, don't become critical of the teaching of separation if it's from the Bible, and believe the Bible. Hey, if you're not separated, let me ask you, here's another attitude. Be willing to grow. Be willing to grow. Why don't you say, you know what? I'm not going to be critical of the teaching on separation. I'm going to believe the Bible, and I am willing to grow. I'm willing to be taught. Makes a real big difference if somebody's willing to be taught. I have been a teacher in one way, shape, or form since virtually I was 16 years of age. I know you'll think this is probably not right, but well over 500,000 people I've spoken to in my lifetime. I could not tell you how many classroom settings and how many auditorium settings I've been in. Crowds of 10,000 people at one time down to a crowd of two or three. And I'm going to tell you something. You can look out at people and you can tell some people don't want to learn. Some people don't want to grow. Mrs. Hart, how long were you a teacher?
30-some.
You can't add. Did you say 32?
30 years.
I'll promise you, 30 years of teaching experience. And I'll promise you, there are times when she had people that were not willing to learn. They didn't want to learn. And when it comes to the subject of separation, can I say to everybody in here, sometimes people don't want to learn it. They don't want to accept it. They don't want to grow. So, if I could get those of you that are not separated, those of you that it is new to you, could I get you to just be willing to grow? Now, let me tell you something else. As you learn separation, I want to recommend, don't leave your church. Don't leave your church. You say, well, why would you say that, Pastor? Because some people, when they hear separation, they say, I'll just change churches. Now, I will tell you something. I've watched it happen for years. Let me tell you something about it. If you change churches, you will find a church that won't teach separation. But you won't eliminate it from the Bible. The church you went to did. They don't teach it. But it's still in the Bible. So instead of running, hoping to find somebody that won't teach it, stay and learn. Stay and grow. Now, so the right attitude of those who are not separated, who need to separate, don't be critical of the Bible teaching of separation. Believe the Bible. Be willing to grow. Don't leave your church. And could I recommend this? Respect others who have separated. You remember earlier when I told those who feel like they've been around and they've separated to be polite and kind toward the ones that don't understand separation or not separated. Now I'm saying to those that are not separated, those that are not sanctified in certain areas of life, you ought to show respect and admiration to the ones that have separated. It ought to be that. Honestly, there ought to be some young Christians that look at some of the older Christians with some admiration and say, wow, they know something. They've learned something. That's a good attitude. Maybe one of the reasons why I survived, I got saved when I was a 16-year-old boy. I came out of the world and I went into an old-fashioned fundamental Baptist church. When I got there, they were different. They talked different. Different entertainments, different dress, so many different things. Now, thank God, I didn't walk away mocking, teasing, or attacking. Tell you what, I walked away going, wow, they know something I don't know. Now, you'll take whichever attitude you want. I admired those that had gone somewhere I had not been. I did not attack those that had gone somewhere that I had not been. So, I want to recommend, if you're not separated, that you respect those who have. Then, could I ask you to do this? Could I ask you to ask yourself, if you're not separated, ask yourself this question. In the area that you're not separated, ask yourself this. Could I be wrong? Could I be wrong? Now, a lot of people can't accept that they're wrong. But you need to ask yourself, could I be wrong? To some of you, the Christians that you admire most in life are separated people. Might be a good idea that you glance at that and realize. Now, I want you to realize this. Realize if you're not separated and you don't know a lot about separation and all the teaching on separation is new to you, I want you to understand something. You are wanted in this church and you are welcome in this church. I will tell you this, we do not approve of people being here and criticizing our separation beliefs. Now, I don't think we have that happening. Now, if you don't separate like you should remain right here in the church. But don't remain here and become critical of our separation stand. We believed it before you got here. In other words, if you stay in the church, and you should, you need to keep a good attitude. And hey, did you know that you can actually stay in this church and not separate? But if you stay in this church and there are things from which you do not separate, you should not create disunity or sow discord about separation while you're here. So, if you for some reason are not separated and you don't like our biblical separation stance, you may come here. But you need to keep your distaste for it to yourself. You say, who do you think you are? I'm the pastor of the local New Testament church, and I'm a shepherd that oversees my flock, and I'll tend to my farm. But I'll tell you what. I had somebody come to our church. They believed something that was wrong about a separation issue. And I said to them, you can practice that all you want, and you can come to my church, but you do not spread that around my church. They said, sure. Wasn't long until they decided to start spreading around the church. And I called them in and I said, listen, when you got here, I told you you can't do that. I said I was very polite and kind about it. You agreed that you would not. Now you have. And you know what? They got mad at me. They said, well, I said, you can well all you want. But I was very polite and kind. And I told you in the beginning, this is the agreement. And you're welcome to come here if you don't believe it. But if you're going to be here, you're not to teach you're wrong here. I think that's pretty polite. Pretty. I know some pastors that would say, hit the road, Jack, and don't go back no more. They wouldn't even give you the chance. So if you're not separated, I can't tell you it's okay not to be separated. You got to take that up with God. But I would say if you're not going to separate and you stay here, you got to keep a good attitude and you can't spread your disbelief or dislike for the separation that our church has. Because we got a pretty good spirit and we got a pretty good attitude and we don't want somebody to tamper with our attitude. Listen, if you're not separated, learn to obey by faith. Want to serve, because in separation you're going to have a chance to step up and serve. Don't become the enemy of separation. I preached a sermon not long ago, and I gave the reasons why people won't separate. I said people don't separate because they're unsaved. People don't separate because they're not filled with the Spirit. People don't separate because they love the world too much. People don't separate because they're simple to what the Bible says about separation. People don't separate because they're more committed to the tradition of men or some religion than they are to the Bible. People don't separate because they're not willing to grow. People don't separate because somewhere along the way they got taught something bad about the Bible. People don't separate because of they're proud or a lack of love for the Lord or a fear of friends or fear of family or that they're not sure how to separate or it's too high of a cost. Now, I would say this to you, if you're not separated, you ought to get the sermon about why we don't separate and find out if that's the reason that you're not separated. Is there a reason in there and let it apply to you? Now, let me tell you something if you're not separated so you know this. If you're not separated, there are levels of service for saved, baptized church members. There are all levels of service here in our church. But you will be hindered on how much you serve and in what positions you serve based on separation. And I think most people know that about our church. Boy, you say, I'm not real separated. I'm saved. I'm not real separated. Well, we'll find something and we'll find a way for you to serve God. But you will also need to understand there are some things that you won't do because of the lack of separation in your life. Please don't get mad at us because you're not separated enough to do what you want. Separation is necessary. So, that's just something that I think attitude-wise, if you're unseparated or it's newer to you, hey, and let me tell you something. You say, well, I don't want to do those things anyway. You ought to want to serve the Lord at the highest level that you possibly can. That's what you ought to want to do. But I think there are right attitudes for those that understand separation. I think there are right attitudes for those that don't understand separation. Number three, let me talk to the leaders in our church for a second. I think there are right attitudes of leaders about separation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, if you're in a position of leadership around our church, and we do, we have variety of leaders, let me give you a little attitude advice about leadership and separation in the church. First of all, we've all got to train people. Train people. Sometimes leaders think their job is just to boss people. I think there's far more to true leadership than just boss people. We train people. Hey, leaders, praise people. If you want to help people so that they grow in separation, praise them. When you see the efforts, when you see, even if it to you seems a feeble effort, praise the effort. So, We want to train people as leaders in regard to separation. We want to praise people. And leaders, be a good example. Be a good example. Your words are not as powerful as your life. So be a good example. Leaders, when it comes to separation issues in the church, please be patient with people. Just be patient. And then, leaders, if you'll really get this, and to everybody in here, those of you that are not, you're not separated, I want you to know this about me, but I want all the leaders, I want you to be careful of this. You should never make someone's lack of separation a personal issue between you and them. Separation's not yours. Separation is God's. I'm just the delivery boy. I'm just a representative. So you all know, I will not be able to change my stand on separation. You say, why not? It's not mine to change. What I teach about separation came from God. Sorry, I can't change it. Now, I could change me, and if I change me away from separation, I'm wrong. But folks, I can't change what the Bible says, and nobody should ever change what the Bible says. So, don't make separation, leaders, if you really want to help people with separation, don't make it a personal thing. It's not a personal thing. It's not between me and you. It's between you and God. Now, you say, well, does that mean I get to do what I want? No, I'm just saying that I have no right to be angry with you or you with me over separation. God is the one that teaches separation. Okay, leaders, realize this. Realize you're not a finished product yourself. So be patient with people. Leaders, remember this. Love never faileth. Can I tell you something about helping people separate? Some of you would help more people separate if you knew how to love people. If you knew how to take 40 sermons to get where you're going before you get there. Sometimes people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so leaders, if you'd really like help to help people to separate, you better learn to love. You better let them know that this isn't a personal thing. So then, leaders, keep your standards up and pray for the people that you feel like you'd like to see grow and to separate. Now, so I talked about the attitude of those that are separated. I've talked about the attitude of those that are not separated. I've talked about the attitude of the people who are leaders in the church who are going to help us with people. Now, there's one other thing. I'll make a couple applications and I'm done. How about the attitude toward churches or people who criticize us for our separation stand? There will be people that will criticize your pastor, that will criticize your church, and there will be people that will criticize you because of your stand for separation from the world. What kind of an attitude should you have? Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, there will be people that will be against you because of separation. Let me tell you this. First of all, let me say to everybody in here, what I just said, that there will be people against you because of separation, some of you just need to go ahead and accept that. It will happen. It's going to happen. Somebody in your family is going to be against you. Somebody that's a friend is going to be against you. Somebody you don't even know is going to be against you. Somebody that's religious is going to be against you. But if God be for us, who can be against us? And what that means is you and God make a majority. But I would like for some of you, I wish I could say to everybody in here, look, if you separate and separate from certain things and separate from the world, everybody's going to be happy. But I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. Matter of fact, I can't even get you happy about separating. How can I get the people who are going to criticize you to be happy about separating? They're not going to be. So you say, what do I do if somebody is critical or nasty toward me or our church or toward separation? Here's what you do. Be kind. Amen. Just be kind. Don't argue. I don't argue separation with people. I don't remember ever being in an argument with somebody about separation. Nothing to argue about. Now, I think that there is a polite way to take your stand. I think there's a polite way to take your stand for your separation. I think there is a polite way for you to take your stand for your church's separation. But you don't have to be rude. You don't have to be unkind. I would tell you this. You go to separate in an area or someone criticizes your church for separating, there is one thing that you need to know. Most people out there have never been taught 40 sermons in a row about separation. Most pastors don't say much about it. They are very peripheral with everything they teach. So, you can politely and kindly take a stand for separation, and I think you should. Listen, I will tell you this also. If there's someone that, you know, and this whole point is, if somebody criticizes you or is angry or hateful toward separation in your life or in our church's life, how should we act? Now, let me tell you this. If somebody is hateful or critical about separation in our church, you just come tell me about it and then I'll take care of it. Because I can very politely go to them and say, You shouldn't talk negative about the Bible teaching in our church. And that's not all about me. It's all about what the Bible says. And so, realize, some people's weak separation is a part of their apostasy or the apostasy of the days in which we live. The churches and the preachers of our day, they don't really preach on it much anymore. You say, ah, well, the old time preachers sure did. What's happened? What in the world happened? Why are there not a lot of people talking about it? Still in the Bible. That's not changed. Our society is as nasty as it can be. You know what it needs? Separation. That's what our society needs. But you don't have to be rude. You don't have to start a war. I would do this. I would say, we practice a certain amount of separation here in our church, even as to what we support financially. So you all know, we support missionaries that are separated. Why? Because I believe in separation. You say, but aren't there some out there that are not separated? Sure, and I'll let the unseparated churches support the unseparated missionaries. I mean, if I'm going to invest your money and my money, why not help the ones that are practicing separation? See, that makes total sense to me. You should be careful of that. Amen. You should be careful. So I think if people have a bad attitude toward you or us, and just so you all know, your preacher's not stupid. Their bad attitude's not usually toward your church. Their bad attitude will be toward me. But I want you to know, I will love them. I will be kind to them. I will not budge an inch from what I believe. If everybody here left the church, I won't change what I believe. I can't. I got it from God. But most of the time, they'll say, preacher out there at Twin Rivers. They're not usually mad at the congregation. They're mad at me. And that's okay. That's all right. We'll all get to heaven someday and everybody will see it my way. So, I think there is a right attitude for separated people. I really think there's even a right attitude for unseparated people. I think there is a right attitude that leaders should have toward people and separation. And I think there's a right attitude that we ought to have toward the enemies of separation. I look around and there's a lot of veteran Christians under the sound of my voice. It is very rare that there is a big attitude flare up in any fundamental Baptist church unless it has something to do with some separation issue. Either separation about the purity of the Bible, separation from certain things of life, expectations, stress, whatever it is. Where does a real attitude problems come from? It's usually something to do with separation. So let's really, really watch our attitudes